mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 360. Since she is only a female, her activities are of little importance. Oh, by the way, I'm Adam, and here's Debbie Melrose.
They are both traitors!
Mary Lang. Mo, what happened to Mary? Oh, she's disappeared. Someone's upset Mary. Andy Nunny.
Agador fights for us!
And hopefully Mary Lang again. Nope, she's disappeared again. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
A touch of grey around the tentacles, perhaps, but still the same old alpha.
Right, let's see if we can get Mary back.
Front and sides, too.
Oh, she's off. She's offline. Oh, we'll find out what's happening to her later. Mary was supposed to be on the show, everyone. We've just been talking to her a few seconds ago, and then she disappeared. Right, let's hope she comes back to us. Right then, this week, listeners, we're going to be talking about two things. One, the aftermath of the Isle of Wight Comic Con. And two, and possibly the future of it. Oh, I've got a message come through. Live podcasting at its best.
I just had a message come through.
Debbie Melrose, are you okay, Mary? Well, I'm not called Mary, Deb.
But only at weekends.
Yes, and also the Monster of Peladon, which is our review story for this week and last week. And if anybody hasn't watched it, tough, because they had plenty of time to get through. So hopefully,
I watched it.
Did you?
I watched it.
I fell asleep multiple times.
Hopefully, between now and us reviewing that, Mary will reappear. But in the meantime, the Isle of Wight Comic Con, fairly confident after speaking to a certain person who runs it, it will be back next year, bigger and better. And
excellent.
I
bigger,
did notice,
stronger, faster.
I did notice.
Well,
if it gets
bigger, there won't be a hole in the Isle of Wight, because the Isle of Wight's only about 3 foot square, isn't it?
He does the Highlands Comic Con, and the Highlands Comic Con apparently has Sylvester McCoy as one of its main guests. So it's always the hope that a Doctor Who guest will appear at one of these Comic Cons.
If I can go slightly off topic, but staying on the subject of the Isle of Wight, there was an obituary in the Daily Telegraph this week, and it referred to Lady of the Isle of Wight, and it spelled it W-H-I-T-E.
Yes, this happens all the time, and I think there should be, in law, immediate execution for anybody who can be that ignorant. Right, so I wonder if Mary's back here. Any word from Mary?
Yes,
What?
She said, we've had a sudden power cut. I will get back when I've restored everything.
At least the power cut didn't affect her phone. That's good. Right, and so we'll stand by. And
you do realize phones have their own external battery source.
Internal.
That's definitely a point deductive for trying to be funny and failing dismally. Or actually, not failing dismally, accidentally being funny for the wrong reasons. That's probably the best way of saying it. So we're going to do a... for Kirby, and I need to open up my little...
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
My score updater. Because I haven't got it open at the moment. And I need to have this open. I'm going to sneeze again in a minute.
Mute then.
Yeah, that's a trouble, isn't it? When I've got 15,000 things going on all at the same time. And trying to mute and deal with various other computers and stuff all at the same time. Very, very difficult thing to do. So I might have to look away while I'm sneezing. Right, sorry, I'm just going to change this thing here. This is live podcasting at its very best. Or worst. I'm going to knock out last week's scores. And we put in now Kirby on 0, because he had a plus, didn't he? Didn't he get a point?
No.
Ah, but I deserve some removed.
Why?
Always. Because.
Okay. No, Debbie got the point, didn't she? Kirby's on -1, and Debbie's on 1. Yes, that's right, because Debbie got a point for having a brilliant idea. What's your brilliant idea, Kirby? Debbie, sorry?
It was losing points by association after Tom reviewed this week's episode.
Yeah, because I'm just reading. What is Tom's comment on the Facebook page? I just want to understand it.
Oh, he really objected to the eyeball on a stalk thing. Alpha Centauri, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, that modern Who character. By the way, Laurie Nix says hello.
Hello, Laurie.
Hello to Laurie. Right.
She was the voice of Alfin Sewell is also Grace Archer in the up to 1955. She died the night ITV opened.
That's a nice thought. What a lovely thought that is. Right. So the Monster Pedal opens with a bit of a title sequence. We also see it starts off actually in some sort of mining area. They use the same stock footage of a Peladon from exterior like they did in the Curse of Peladon. And then we get to see some sort of miners that we never saw in the Curse of Peladon. They've got some weirdly sort of placed stripy afros that seem to start up just above their eyes and go back along their heads. Very strange haircuts. And they're immediately spooked by
Master,
something. Yes, dear.
Master, since they're minors, when did they reach their adult age?
Oh, ba-dum-ching.
Debbie, that was not even the slightest bit worth, even a sarcastic ba-dum-ching. Ridiculous. He uses that every blooming week. Because they seem to have quite a lot of not mining stories in Doctor Who recently. So they've been a bit spooked by something, and it's the curse of the spirit of Agador or something like that. I don't know. But
Agador!
Then this strange creature comes into the citadel, well, the queen's sort of room. We don't see it again. It's a really weird. It's a man with a... looks a bit like a half goat, half man. It's a very strange looking creature.
Mary's back.
Mary's back. Front and sides too.
Front and sides too.
Too late, Kirby. Another point deducted. Right, Mary.
No, I'm not that blooming harsh. I am pretty harsh. I'm not that harsh.
Is she there? Where is she?
Chef.
She's in America. She's not far from you, Kirby.
Yeah, about 5 minutes down the road.
Yes.
So yeah.
about driving? Maybe 8 hours ish.
Yes. Hello, Mary.
Well, guess a faster car then.
Mary, shut up, Mary.
Yes.
Yay!
Right, and we can do the introduction.
That was freaky. Everything in the house suddenly went black, and now everything in the house is rebooted.
It's amazing the effect Kirby can have on situations, isn't it? right, so... And Mary Lang!
Haru, haru, haru!
That was well worth waiting for. Haru, haru! the setup in the throne room is very similar to the Curse of Peladon. We've got a sort of almost identical character in Autron to Hepesh. Obviously, the Queen's different because she's a woman. And he's very...
Well, yes, because it was a king before, so straight away he's different. Doesn't have to be a woman. Yeah, it's a queen. But
Autron is almost a carbon copy of Hepesh. Just pointing this out.
Yes.
And then the Doctor and Sarah arrive, and... they start mooching around.
Sarah is not a carbon copy of Joe.
No, she's not. No. There's a funny scene actually with Sarah sort of almost demands an apology in the Queen's room. The Doctor sort of like fends her off. Because remember that women aren't allowed to speak in the Queen's room, and then of course the Queen's there, so she's a woman, and that rather sort of stops that from happening on this particular story. Anyway, so the Eckersley sort of created this sort of machine that can make a hole in sort of rock so they can mine things a lot quicker and easier. And then Goatman gets done in somehow. I didn't understand. Sorry, Mary, you weren't on. I didn't understand who this goat creature was. I presume it was a half man, half goat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like a satyr. Yeah, satyr, that's it, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, just having a sip of Coke. Pepsi, sorry. Let's say, while the Doctor and Sarah are mooching around, they get caught by some guards and get taken in to see the Queen and Autron. And,
it all looks bad.
All looks bad.
Rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, and then Officer Shuri turns up and is quite pleased to see the Doctor and explains the Doctor's a bit of a friend of theirs, although at the end of the previous story he sort of had to run off because he was found out not to be the Earth ambassador, wasn't he? So that was a bit interesting. They didn't quite carry that bit on. She didn't ask any questions. She just assumed, Doctor Friend, not Doctor Friend, but what happened to you at the end of the last story when you pretended to be the Earth ambassador? Maybe they assumed that people wouldn't remember that fact. And to be frank, if I'd only watched The Curse of Peladon once and then a couple of years later watch this story, I wouldn't have remembered that particular fact anyway. So I'll let them off that one. The people with the strange afros. That's the only thing that really irritates me about this. These people weren't in the previous story. I didn't understand. They're very prominent in this, so they seem to be some sort of sub-race that live on this planet. But they weren't in the previous story at all. But there you go. Nobody's going to talk to me about that. That's fine.
Because they were underground.
Yeah, but
they were mining.
They were busy. Yeah,
they were mining. They were busy.
So they're the only ones on the planet capable of mining, obviously. Anyway, so the Doctor meets Eckersley, who's some sort of scientist bloke, who looks a little bit like a Tom Baker without curly hair. And he was also in
Doctor Who. Who was already suspicious.
He was in Doctor Who a few years back, actually, in one of the, Troughton stories. But I can't remember which one. But someone's going to tell me at some point. Yeah, so they're basically, there's a bit of a revolution going on with the miners who basically don't want to mine because they're scared of the Aggador apparitions, which end up killing people. And, the Doctor is sort of mistrusted by Autron. And but he just basically goes from one area to another, and he's allowed to do this, even though Autron's not happy about it. And then a sort of figure of Aggador comes along, kills somebody. And obviously, if you watch this and you watch the monster, you know this isn't really Aggador, because the Aggador in the previous story didn't appear like this. It was actually a little furry thing. Anyway, so the miners. Yes.
Is this not the same Aggador statue though?
Yeah, but they.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
but
looks the same.
It's the same statue. What I'm saying is that.
Yeah.
It wasn't done in this way in the previous story. It was because this was a projected statue rather than. Oh, never mind. Moving on. Wasn't it? You're confusing me, Kirby.
No, the statue that they're in front of, like the altar.
Yes. So, Alpha Centauri. Initially, Sarah's a bit disgusted by Alpha Centauri, as of course Tom was. But they soon become firm friends.
I like the way she keeps jumping when he turns round.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would too.
So, she sneaks out with a little bit of help from Alpha Centauri. She sneaks out of the little room that they're trying to find the Doctor, who's trying to negotiate with the miners and tell them to basically not be so blimmin' stupid. Aggador is a little furry creature, not anything sort of mythical or spiritual. And then Eckersley sort of does something to Sarah with a horrible noise and makes her collapse with nice disco lights going around her head and everything. At this point, Eckersley doesn't seem to be too bad. He just looks a bit like Tom Baker, and that's not a bad thing, is it? Surely.
I didn't think he was suspicious for a while.
No. So the Doctor's sort of making friends with miners.
The way Doctor Who seems to go about this era, though, it's always the one that isn't the innocuous one that turns out to be a baddie.
Yeah, maybe
so. The one in the leather jacket.
Autron is essentially trying to be king by manipulating the Queen. The Queen is trying her best not to be manipulated by Autron. And there's a point in which Eckersley's knocked out by the mad miner whose name escapes me for the moment. What was his name?
Ettis,
that's it, yeah. And then there's a point in which, I'm moving on a bit, but there's a point in which the... I think some Federation people are going to turn up. So Sarah comes up with a brilliant plan of pretending nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
And
everything's fine.
Autron goes along with it all of a sudden. Autron goes from being the evil Hepesh-like man to a very nice chap who actually cares about the Queen and gives his life for her. Which was quite nice. And who's creaking their microphone? Because if whoever find out is going to get a point deducted. I've got my... thingy over the appropriate sound effect. Yes, my icon is over the appropriate sound effect.
I am very far away from my microphone, so
I can hear doors opening, and I'm just about to press it. Now I can hear chinking things. Right, that's it. 2 points deducted for Andy.
Microphone, Andy.
I'm sitting here quite still. It ain't me.
Well, so how can I hear chinking glasses?
That's Dawn clearing.
No,
the
I'm sorry. That doesn't. No, I'm blaming it on Dawn. Isn't in the competition. I'm sorry. No, that doesn't work. Sorry. Good try.
Tell Dawn she's lost the quiz.
Dawn, you just. I've just pointed up to you clinking glasses.
Stop putting me off. Anyway.
Right, I won't say what she just said because that would be 100 points.
Anyway, right. The chap who plays the head miner is actually quite friendly. He was
They're
in...
mining heads?
Well, I can't remember his name, Kirby. You're good with names. He was in The Three Doctors.
And also, he will be in Hand of Fear.
He will. And he was in another story as well, which escapes
no.
the title.
Negative. Negative. Rex Robinson is only in three stories, Three Doctors, Monster Peladon, and Hand of Fear.
You don't get any points for that, Kirby, just for your utter pedantry. Anyway, the Ice Warriors turn up, but they're not nice anymore. They're not nice warriors.
Badum-ching.
Badum-ching.
Debbie,
give yourself a point.
If you say that sarcastically, you know what's going to happen, don't you?
Yes.
Anyway, Alan T. Butcher says, hello.
Hello.
And then he says there is a clear distinction between the Agador creature and the spirit of Agador. That's what I said, essentially. But anyway, right, so moving on. So yes, the Ice Warriors turn up and they're sort of being a bit mean. There's a few of them to start off with, but you only really generally see two for the rest of the story once after they've turned up. Is it the same actor, Kirby? Plays the sort of the Iglixir?
Yes.
It is, yeah, because his voice has gone a bit deeper in this story, I notice.
Yeah, the two main... we actually see three Ice Warriors. There's the Ice... what do you call him? Alan Binion.
I do like the fact that Kirby went Ice...
Ice Baby.
Yeah. Kirby,
Ice
I know it was
yes,
accidental.
That's Alan Binion.
I know it was accidental, Kirby, but you do get this. Oh, damn. I was no, you don't. The bell says no. The bell says no, you don't get it. Carry on.
He was in the Seeds of Death, the Curse of Peladon, and the Monster of Peladon.
Stop speaking.
And then we also had, obviously, Sonny Caldenez as Skell, and he was in every single Ice Warrior story. But
was
then
it?
There was another costume they were using, the Squatter one.
Yeah. The squatter one. They had someone sort of staying there, out of abandoned house. That's really weird.
The shorter, weirder looking Ice Warrior.
Okay, never noticed.
So sometimes,
so
you see, actually, as I recall, you sometimes see three Ice Warriors at once, plus the Ice Lord.
Okay.
Two of the more normal ones, and then one of the weird one.
Oh, Ian Kirk says he sent his feedback. Moving on. Right, so so the Doctor again is sort of going back and forth between the King and the miners and trying to negotiate.
What
something.
Episode are you in?
I don't know. I'm just winging it at the moment.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Itis, is it the Mad One? Has come up with a brilliant plan of blowing everything up.
Yes, bit, that'll work.
It's a bit like the Brigadier gone mad, really. Itis, so. So he goes about his plan to use this sonic lance. And a sonic lance, I remember, is the Sixth Doctor had it. It was a tiny little thing. He held it in his hand. Anyway, but he's going to call this sonic lance, which is going to blow everything up. And he has a bit of a sword fight with the Doctor. And then the Doctor slightly... He knocks him out, basically. And he says, it is don't. And boom. Blown to smithereens. But Doctor's all right, though, because he's a Time Lord.
Oh, you're way past. Okay, we're going through this lickety-split.
Well.
Good.
I'm trying to, because I know what you're like, Kirby. But the Doctor's all right. At this point, there's a point in which Sarah and Alpha Centauri, I believe, overhear a conversation between Eckersley and, is it the Ice Warrior chap?
Yes.
And realize...
Yes, the Ice Lord.
Okay. And that's where they realise that Eckersley's a bit of a baddie, and he does turn really bad very quickly. And he accelerates his plan. Why is he sort of scaring the miners out of the mine. Please tell me. I'm getting confused. No, nobody knows.
I'm not sure. I don't think that really.
What are his motives? It's because Ice Warriors want all the stuff for themselves.
The
enemy.
Just taking all the air out of the mines.
Sorry,
yeah, they want to sell it.
You were talking over each other then, and I was blowing my nose. Who explained it better?
Sell everything. They want to sell it to their enemies. Okay. Galaxy 5 or something.
Like Galaxy 5.
Yes.
Okay. Don't be alarmed. I'm just opening up my TARDIS bin, where I'm going to put this tissue.
Oh, I thought you were just ranting, or we were getting a special gift.
Just waiting for the bin to shut up. Hang on. Right, the bin's shut up now. I can carry on. Right. So, yeah. So Arthur Centauri is actually he doesn't get. Oh, he thought it was funny. Get a point there for Kirby. Think it was funny. That time thought something I said was funny. Right, some point for Kirby. Yeah. Right,
thank you, sir. May I have another?
No. Yeah. So I actually like the Queen character in this story. I must admit, she sort of is quite, you know, she's quite forceful in what she says, and quite, you know, she's quite fair. But she obviously, when she's got,
yeah, she's brunette.
Good grief, that is almost... I can't find the icon, you're lucky.
No, actually, she has two-toned hair. The top
shut up.
The hair on the top of her head is...
She's quite able to convey her regalness. That's what I was trying to say. She conveys her regalness quite well. And once Autron's gone, she's able to be queen proper, even though the Ice Warriors are trying to take over. What's that noise? Is that, have you got your window open, Mary?
No, there's that woman that keeps appearing in different scenes, standing there in a purple dress.
It's like a lady in waiting, isn't she?
And all I could think of is, boy, that's the queen that this planet needs.
No.
We need someone. Nobody's going to... You know, like she looks like she wouldn't put up with any nonsense.
I like the queen they had. Anyway, that's right, because the Doctor has decided... He gets into the sort of control room, and him and who is it has a plan to sort of show that Agador's on the side of the miners.
Oh, it's the head miner thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the head miner bloke. Yes. And so
would it be a major miner?
Well, Kirby liked it, don't know why. No, so yeah, so they sort of nearly managed to persuade the miners that the Agador is on their side. And while doing this, Eckersley does that mind, disco mind thing on the Doctor. But the Doctor keeps it going for as long as he can before eventually he dies, apparently.
Pastor?
Yes, Pastor? What? Yes.
In some of their reuse of footage... You know, there's this big hole in the door to the room.
Yes.
But when you see Agador, the big Agador statue, dissolve away to go and kill someone, the door no longer has the hole in it. And then we switch back and the door suddenly has the hole in it again.
Never noticed that. Never mind. Yeah, so the Doctor dies, and that upsets Sarah a little bit. But
he's
Sarah,
getting better!
Sarah tries to take over Eckersley with a gun, but easily gets taken over. While Eckersley goes off and tries to get control of the whole situation, there's a few battles between the miners and the... the 49ers. Ice Warriors. Miners and the Ice Warriors, all in the Queen's room as well. Quite interesting. Or the throne room. The Queen nearly gets away, actually, but unfortunately Eckersley stops her. And then Sarah goes to sort of say goodbye to the Doctor. He's dead and that. A little tear drops on his face and he starts to regenerate. No, sorry, that's a story.
Sorry. It was a good time too. Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? I was like, oh, he's going to regenerate soon, but not yet.
Yeah. since he's basically phoning this story in, yeah.
Yeah. He's what? Phonying the story in, did you say?
Yeah, he's just reading the script and getting on with it at the moment, isn't he?
Yes.
Anyway, so get down. God's sake, you know, he was fine until Kirby started talking, this dog. As soon as Kirby starts up, he's suddenly started going back to his normal naughtiness. Never mind. I wonder what would happen if Kirby stayed quiet for a bit. Would magic settle down? I don't know. He's looking up at me. He's looking up with these good big sorrowful eyes. I'll take a picture and post it on the 20 megabyte page. But, magic, hold that pose. It's quite... Right. Kirby, do a bit of talking so as he can look a bit worried.
Why?
Hey, I've got a picture. Right, I'll post that on that.
Enough, was it?
Yeah, that was enough. All right. What's the address of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group? Well, I believe it's a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. What? Well, you lot
don't
are rubbish,
know how
you?
To get there.
The group page. So I'm just stalling for time here, so I can post this picture.
It's group
123-660-376-52-675. Well done, Kirby. Is that posted? How'd you post it? It's not letting me post anything. Oh, there we are. I've got to press the post button. Sorry. Right, moving back to the story. Eventually, Eckersley grabs the Queen and carts her through various catacombs, stroke caves. Don't know exactly what they are. But they get stopped by the Doctor, who's found his old mate, Agador. I did gloss over the bit where the Doctor and Sarah pushed down this pit, and we all knew that the Doctor was going to sort of make friends with Agador again, but forgets to use his little spinny thing and uses a necklace thing instead. But anyway, the Doctor and Agador are friends temporarily because he gets killed by Eckersley. And, that's about it, really. Off they go. End of the story. Right. So I have gone through that story quite quickly. I have sort of essentially covered the plot quite well. Right. I'm going to say what I think of it. Now, the only thing, after watching it again, I don't really mind the story. I quite like it in some ways. But it is a little bit too long for what it is. The story, I think it could have done with... And I don't like two-parters, three-parters. I think they should have condensed this to a four-parter. And I think they could have done that quite successfully in some ways. I like the idea of revisiting Peladon. Don't quite know why they decided to do it in the way they did. I like the Ice Warriors, but I liked the idea the Ice Warriors would have evolved into a peaceful species. So I was a bit hacked off that they became baddies again. It was a bit... The fact that Ortron was another Hepesh was a bit, can we not move on from that as well? But... And I did actually say I like the scene where Sarah sort of says, I think we should have an apology sort of thing. That was quite funny. But on the whole, it's not too bad. I quite like it. I've got a fondness for this story. Maybe it's because it's the last story that the Third Doctor survives, perhaps. I don't know. But I don't really mind it. I know you lot all hate it because you've been going on about it all bloody week. But you said that you're going to upset me, the fact you don't like it. It's not that I think it's the best story ever. I just think it's okay. I just think it's two episodes too long. I didn't get bored while watching the sixth episode.
I have a slightly different opinion.
I didn't get bored while watching it. I didn't feel sleepy at all. I watched it quite comfortably through all six episodes. And having bear in mind, I've probably seen it on several occasions. It indicates to me that it wasn't that bad. So I'm not going to speak to you about it, Kirby, because I think you've been a bit mean about this story. So I'm going to talk to Mrs. Debbie Melrose.
I didn't enjoy this very much, I'm afraid. I was very excited to be watching this one because I'd heard a lot about it, but I didn't realise that I'd not heard about a hell of a lot of it. And it was very long and... very pantomimey, and I really just didn't feel like Pertwee was there. He just didn't want to be there. It felt like he didn't want to be there. And occasionally he'd get really into a scene, and then there'd be really random scenes where suddenly they're fighting with, they're fencing, proper fencing. And it's like, where did the mind learn that? And, that sort of thing. And it just kept throwing odd things at you that sort of kept you watching, but there was a long... I don't know how many times they ducked behind the same rock, but it happened a hell of a lot.
This around
rock. And it was I'm pretty sure it's the same one they ducked behind in Death of the Daleks as well. It was pretty much the same shape.
Yeah, it looked like the same, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't get into this as I do normally with Doctor Who. I just didn't engage. I mean, I know I watched three and then three because I sort of hurried through this one, but it didn't engage me because it felt like the Doctor wasn't engaged in this one. So it was a lot of focusing on what Sarah was doing and the Doctor being unconscious. So it just didn't feel like a full-on Doctor Who episode. It just felt too long. And if it had been condensed a bit and less of the shouty, posh eyeball, I think Tom would have put up with it a bit longer as well. But, yeah, it was not one of the best ones, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Andy, what do you think? Hello?
Right,
oh, you are there. Hang on. Oh.
Wake up, Andy.
No, sorry, he's just saying, oh, for goodness sake, or something like that.
Andy?
Andy?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
You're kind of faint,
but we can hear you. Well, according to my iPad, I'm still on mute, so I don't know what's happening, but if you could hear me.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, okay. Right, now, recently I've been saying that all these six-parters should have been four-parters.
Yes.
Not in this case.
Ooh.
This is a six-parter. This should have been a two-parter.
Yes.
I can't believe they actually managed to drag this story over six episodes because basically nothing happened. I mean,
nonsense.
It really was running up and down corridors for four episodes. The Ice Warriors popped out. Big surprise. Eccleston's a villain. Big surprise. The Queen's really good. Big surprise. The Miners turn around. Big surprise. God, it really was boring. And Kirby, I'm not surprised you fell asleep. I actually sat and watched it all, stayed awake all the way through. I mean,
phone.
How on earth did this manage to go for six episodes? It's just unbelievable. Cause there is no there is such a little. There is so little plot line in there. It's unbelievable. It's obvious what's going to happen. Agador, yeah, you know, the only good bit is Alvin Tori, who was comic relief, effectively.
Yes.
But the rest of it was awful. I mean, personally, it must be so glad he was coming to the end of it, thinking, right, next week I'll give you my last story, and I can go away, because this was awful. It was boring, it was slow, there was no plot, I couldn't get interested.
So thank you.
Yeah, I think that's about something. Thank you too, Mary.
So you didn't like it then?
Sorry, this was the worst Pertwee story ever.
Well, I don't quite agree with it being the worst one ever, because I didn't think it was that bad.
That's me.
Never mind. Yeah, thank you. Kirby, what did you think? God help us.
Well, I actually have a slightly different opinion than Andy. This was five episodes too long. Actually, it was six episodes.
Oh, shut up.
This was like I said, Pertwee is just, he's just walking into scenes, saying lines, and letting that Walsh guy.
The Walsh guy. Oh, do you mean Terry Walsh, you mean?
Terry Walsh. Do his fights. I mean, that's it. There's three sets. It's stupid. It's boring. I started to watch this. I think I would watch one. I'd start in wanting to watch at least two or three episodes. I managed to watch one episode, start the next episode, and wake up 20 minutes later. It's just boring, boring, boring. And I agree.
You haven't missed anything while you were asleep as well.
No, not really. Not really. I was surprised they kept a lot of the sets and the little torches that are used to open the doors and everything. But it was just the same old, same old. Why did they make this?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Curtis.
There was one more thing I wanted to say. What was it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Good.
Pertwee, I'm sure, is just thinking, oh, good, I get to spend 25 minutes riding everything that I love to drive next time.
Okay, thank you. Go on,
Shouldn't
Mary.
Should have used that for all of us.
Go on, Mary, get it over and done with.
I don't know what's wrong with all of you. I didn't make this one.
What? What do you mean all of us?
And I'm not kidding. I did. I enjoyed this one.
look, 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 Well, let's be honest, Kirby enjoyed this one because he caused him a lot of sleep, so he probably has a very nice dream, so...
Yes.
Yeah, well, contrary as always, I disagree with all of you.
It's not me. It's nothing to mean you disagree. I'm the opposite side of the fence, thank you, Mary.
Okay, all right. Well, then you and I are on the same side of the fence.
Hooray.
Now, I watched it as it was intended to be broadcast, one episode at a time, and maybe that kept me from being, you know, terribly bored with it. But I did notice that several of the episodes begin with a good at least 5 minutes of the previous episode. So I think that supports your claims that it's too long because they had to use a lot of the last episode in order to fill in the time. And I did read that Pertwee did suffer a back injury just before the filming of this. So he was on some pretty heavy pain meds. And was not allowed to do any of his own fighting of any kind, although, you know, otherwise he would have chosen to do some of it, which is probably why we saw Walsh's face as often as we did in the fights. Mm. but, yeah, so that might explain, too, why he appears to just kind of be walking through it, is that either his back was hurting him or the pain meds had him kind of, little off kilter. But I thought that Sarah Jane was really good throughout this whole thing. I mean, she starts out kind of oppositional and stroppy, but it's her acting, I think, that really pulls this whole thing together because she's very believable in most everything that she does. And it's her scenes with Pertwee that are the best throughout. So I'm glad that she has a lot of scenes with him. I like I said earlier, I thought the lady standing off to the side of the queen would have made a much better queen because she looked like nobody would have messed with her. She had that severe look that nobody would cross.
Yeah.
So just in general, there were a lot of inconsistencies, one of which you pointed out, Kirby, about the door. I noticed that too, and seeing the actor's leg, the actor playing Agrador, when he died, I guess his furry pant leg kind of rides up from his furry boots. You can see the human leg. I mean, there were just all kinds of things like that throughout this that kept the amusement level pretty high. I wouldn't write this off as the worst or horribly boring. It probably could have been one or two episodes shorter, but I enjoyed it, so there.
Brilliant. A point for Mary for paying attention to the episode and not just jumping on everybody else's bandwagon.
Master,
yes?
Master, what would you consider to be the worst Pertwee then?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to have a look back at that one. Certainly not this story. But I'll have to look back to decide that. I didn't like much
of the invasion of the dinosaurs. I don't know.
I didn't like it. No, certainly this story for me is better than Spearhead from Space. I didn't really like that very much. Invasion of the Dinosaurs is a good story, but it's just it's got rubbish dinosaurs. I'd have to look back and decide, but certainly
it would be one of the Joe ones.
It'll probably be something from series one or two.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm looking at the list. I'm looking at the list, and I found one that I dislike more than this one.
Which is what?
Oh, very good.
Ambassadors of Death.
That was all right. That is better than Ambassadors, in my view. But I don't think Ambassadors is that bad. I think, again, it was just too long. A lot of these stories have padded out. They might as well have just had an extra story, an extra four-parter, than try and pad them out to six-parters, to be fair.
Now, have we done Planet of the Spiders before?
Don't know. Possibly. Why?
Oh, well, I'm just wondering.
Anyway, we've got some messages come through on the thread of the live video, which we've got 7 viewers. I'm so apologising to anybody who went to the Comic-Con and decided, I know what I'll do. I'll waste some of my time on a Sunday evening by watching the live Facebook feed. But Laurie Nick says... Alan T. Butcher says, Eckersley says he's going to be given control of Earth if he helps Galaxy 5. Oh, of course, he's just explaining what the plan was. Laurie Nick says, Disco Mind Thing was very popular in Studio 54 days. And then she says, All Magic, because I posted my picture of the Moody Magic, who's still sitting in between my legs looking sorrowful. Alan T. Butcher says, Get off the fence, Andy. Oh, Andy's gone. Joshua Dybal says, appalling story. Love the premise of the story, revisiting the scene of a previous story at a different time, but that's about it. Those stripy hairdos were just too much for me. That's what they were, a bit distracting, weren't they? It's got to be said. Alan well, Butcher
says... I was actually muting when you spoke, what Alan said, so I had a good laugh. But, okay. Yes, I've got to
mute. Do you want to do the laugh now so Alan can appreciate it?
Very good.
Alan Butcher says, Philistines accepting Mary and Adam, of course.
He's just completely wrong. Sorry, Alan, you're wrong.
I'm looking forward.
Listening to actually being able to hear Alan during the last podcast, he does not sound anything like I imagined him to sound
Indeed. Right. I forgot what I was going to say now. Philistines, you've put me right off because he was going to say something else about what he said, but I've forgotten it. Right. Terry Miles says, hi, Adam. Sorry to disagree with Harry, but I agree with you and Mary. I liked it, but found it too long.
Nobody agrees with us.
Well, okay. Nobody agrees
with
you.
He said he likes it, we found it too long, so he agrees and disagrees at the same time.
Well, no, he agrees with me and Mary, but we just think it should have been two episodes shorter. There was no need for it to be a six-parter. Like I say,
No, it should have been two episodes, full stop.
No, that's ridiculous. It would be lovely to see somebody could actually edit this down to four parts and make it more entertaining. But there you go. I still was able to sit through the six parts quite comfortably. So, yeah, that was some of the feedback.
Well, so was Kirby. He sat doing quite comfortably, fast asleep.
There's more comments because there's other places people have left.
If you let me continue instead of interrupting me.
It's what we do, Adam.
Right, yes. I posted on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group a plea for feedback. But I can't find it. I think someone's deleted it.
No.
What do you mean, no? There, I can't find it.
It's way down there.
How could it be way down there?
People commented on my thread where I requested
feedback. Yeah, I'm trying to find that one as well.
Yours.
No, can't find yours either.
Mine
has
That's
a,
what she said.
Oh, here it is. I found it now. Right, what we got? Lauren X says, hair like gives you that rugged macho look and keeps the trisilicate nice and shiny. A Brillo soap pad.
Good for you, Lauren.
And then she says, now I can't help but wonder if the costume designer was really into the film Zardoz.
Where's the music coming from?
Don't know. Probably Andy's.
It's here. Dawn's got music playing in the background. We're sitting at the dining table and she wants music on. It's William Orbit.
All right. Yes, we don't need the blooming thingamajig.
William Orbit Wavell. Orbit is one of the producers of Madonna.
Yes, lovely.
It's very good music.
I'm sure it is. Right then. Yes, and then she says some of that Brillo was chest hair. Oh, didn't notice that. Tom Melrose says, please bump off that ruddy posh voiced eyeball. Feedback on tonight's episode by Tom. And we've also got a load of other stuff, which I'm not going to mention from that one. So go on to Kirby. I can't find the questions.
There are replies to your request.
I can't find mine. Oh, I found it.
That's what she said.
Shut up.
Jeff and Laurie talking back.
But there's nothing there. Just it's recording this evening, 7 p.m, blah, blah, blah. But there's no comments.
No. Underneath it says about click on the comment.
It's on Tom's. It's on Tom's.
Oh, it's on Tom's one, is it?
Yeah.
I can't see it. Apart from Lauren X saying, just leaving this right here and casually strolling away. And then she says, I found some.
There's more past that.
Yeah, Jeff Waddle.
There's more.
Jeff Waddle says, shut up. Jeff Waddle says, it's all went rather gay. Lauren X, PSA, always wear your shower curtain when faced with a helmet.
Eddie, could you mute?
Jeff Waddle says, I've never been faced by a helmet when in the shower. That's a damn lie. Laurie Nick says, protesting too much again, Jeff. And then she says, by the way, looking forward to your dissertation on the subjugation of the working class by the ruling class via arcane religious bamboozlement. Thank you, Laurie, for that. I wish I got Debbie to read that particular statement. This is what I was going to say. I'm quite looking forward to Alan's write-up on the Comic-Con and his write-up on the story we've just reviewed, which was Monster of Peloton. So, with that in mind, Debbie Melrose has just been sent Alan's dissertation on Isle of Wight Comic-Con.
I got a boiled sweet in my mouth.
Well, that would be new. We were doing feedback. That's no excuse. Well, it is.
It is. The lolly fell off the stick. Right. Kirby of Cows Exposed. Dear 20 megabyters, the Isle of Wight Comic-Con was, of course, a closely studied microcosm of a geeky world now well-established and unrepentantly proud in character amongst so many of the Terrans here on Sol 3. Visible to the south was a galaxy of stars, albeit with two major such celestial bodies fallen out of the constellation of Cerberus this year. To the north there was the bustle of commerce, and beyond that, slightly to the east, the military displays from space and hammers. Yonder further was the media of the stage promulgating great performances in cosplay and interviews. At its core, of course, beneath the rotunda and alongside an array of swords and a video game I never quite got to the bottom of, lay the beating heart of a certain podcast which makes the island the centre of global network delivery, a conceptual 20 megabytes of Doctor Who goodness available on a regular basis. I know. We also learned that Kirby almost said your name wrong. Well done, me. We also learned that Kirby has a shop in downtown Cowes. Debbie really is the delight you probably think she is. Thank you. And Adam really is the sardonic romantic who, not very secretly, loves what he's doing.
What?
All in all, the Isle of Wight Comic-Con, you've been rumbled, mate. All in all, the Isle of Wight Comic-Con is a really good idea that worked well and worthy of adopting an annual format. Next up, the Isle of Wight Comic-Con 2, even bigger and even better. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yay!
What are you cheering for?
Yeah.
Don't get too excited, Dad. That's only half of it.
not his usual lengthy diatribe.
That's what she said, but there's more. There's more, but let me carry on. On the video thread is also Terry Miles. Oh, I've done that one. Laurie Nick says, might be too naughty for the masses. Don't know what that was referring to, but I'm sure somebody will let me know. No, nobody's going to let me know.
I've done that one. Laurie Nick says, might be too naughty.
I can hear myself.
I don't know what that was referring to. I'm sure somebody
will let me know. You've disturbed the space time.
Yeah, you've got very funky.
Why can't I hear myself? How strange. Hey, this is really timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
Yes, what's going on?
Adam, what you doing? What's happened?
I don't know, but somebody's obviously got the video feed playing in the background, and it's just gone a bit funny.
I don't think it's any of us.
Oh. It's not me. I haven't got Facebook on, so it's not me.
Yeah, me neither.
It's not me, because it wouldn't be delayed. It could be running. Oh, it's now stopped.
It could be.
It's stopped now. How weird. Right, then, I've got this for Mrs. Melrose.
I haven't received it yet.
Yes, you have.
Oh, I have now. Here we go.
You were just hoping there, weren't you, Debbie?
No, it literally bounced in. As I said, I haven't received it yet, so now I look like a right douche. The Ascent of the Peladonian Proletariat. Dear 20 megabyte. The Monster of Peladon is, of course, a closely studied re-examination of the British relationship with the European economic community and the prevailing domestic political circumstances of the era. I can hear me, it's weird. The conflict with Galaxy 5 stands in for looming economic difficulties. Ultron clearly represents the British establishment exercising their royal prerogative. Having
what on earth is that? Is that are you getting heckled, Debbie?
Obviously. I don't know what's going on.
Is it Andy? That sounds like background stuff in Andy's.
Well, Debbie's not seeing what's happening. Good thing. Dawn's not seeing what's tapping on the phone, so I don't know if she's doing anything, but no.
No, there's somebody. Sounded like somebody decided to throw a load of pans across the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it sounds like it together, yeah.
Well, we're the dining room, it's not us then.
Certainly not in there. There's no pans in there, I can say. And I have video evidence to prove this. Carry on, Debbie.
No, you haven't. We can't see it.
Oh, be quiet. Debbie.
Yeah, I know. I was trying. The conflict with Galaxy 5 stands in for looming economic difficulties. Ultron clearly represents the British establishment exercising the royal prerogative, having backward social attitudes but grudgingly willing to work with the proletariat if he deems it necessary in the hope of being able to preserve the status quo. Good the band. Spirit of Agbor device is shown to be a representation of governmental fiscal policy, often described as operating the levers of the economy as it is, or levers, depending where you are. Depending on who operates the levers determines whether the effect is positive.
Levers.
Levers.
Levers or levers.
I just thought I'd throw a wrench.
Yeah, shut up. There. Carry on, Debbie.
Determines whether the effect is positive of deleterious. Okay? I think that might be all. Gebbek is obviously a Harold Wilson-like figure rallying the working classes, not always wholly trusted by a dissident left represented by Ettis, who advocated more extreme actions. Eckersley is obviously a Tory betraying his own people for limited commercial interests. I don't... Azaxir, is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It?
The Ice Warrior chap.
Lots of Azaxir and his band of renegade Martians are clearly flagging up the danger of an overmighty German economy acting against the interests of other parts of the European economy, which has more recently come to pass. The story is crowned off with the elevation of a leader of the working classes to the prime ministerial role on Peladon to steer the planet through the times ahead. Result, it should be noted that although some might suggest that this is a terrible and tedious story, in fact, such people haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Oh, well, rumbles. I remember reading the story in a novel form not long after first seeing The Curse of Peladon. I was captivated by its further development of the Ice Warriors. It was quite a long time before I got to see it on TV, and I was not disappointed. But we also learned that Major Warne became disenchanted after his time with General Cermak, dealing with space pirates, retrained as a mining engineer, and allied himself with a traitorous faction of Martians who openly took on the superfet of Ice Warriors seeking to aid the enemy in the war with Galaxy 5. Also, Dr. Tyler, having seen it all in the universe of Omega, oh God, I've said it wrong again, left his scientific...
Omega!
Wig, and as such pretty mining such pretty much had to move to a role mining on Peladon just to fit in somewhere. All in all, the monster of Peladon, whilst not the flawless and classy model Doctor Who story of its predecessor story for Peladon, is a great yarn full of incident twists and well-drawn developed characters. Sarah gets to take the initiative and confront backward attitudes and is now very much finding her character. Great story. Oh my God, big word. Next up, Doctor Who and the Intumescent Arachnids of Fear in episode 2 of The Chase. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Well, well, well.
Wow.
Debbie?
Tell me, Debbie, did you want to punch him when you met him? Because all the crap he's made you read.
He came up to the table, he looked so bedraggled that I just went, it's Alan! Yay!
He's a really nice guy. I've met him several times. I mean, Dawn and I both met him, and he's a really nice guy, apart from his political opinions. But even here, that we get on very well about that. And
he's downright lovely and fantastic.
He's straight to the point, down to earth. He's a lovely bloke.
And he was somewhat moist when I first met him.
I had a question about that. Was it raining?
Was it raining?
Just slightly that morning.
Yeah, it was. Yes, quite torrentially raining.
It's on the Isle of Wight. It always rains.
It didn't rain any time after that. But then when he arrived, it was chucking it down.
No, just for him leaving the hotel and getting up there.
Did it? Well, I don't remember that one. Oh yes, of course it did. Yeah, sorry, there. So he got wet. Okay, what else have we got coming through? We've got Laurie Nix. Poltergeist seem to be taking over the podcast. That's just the other presenters, I'm afraid, Laurie. Sorry about that. Right, we've got more feedback. If I can find it, we've got Jeff Waddle. The convention seemed a lot of fun, and it was good to see the photos and people enjoying themselves, listeners. You can see them on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. I find it frustrating that there was no Who convention in Scotland, but there is coming up, made by the same company that do our convention. Like I said before, Sylvester McCoy's at it. When you consider that Doctor Who is Scottish. Yeah. It's Welsh, actually, but mind. Mind you, not as frustrating as Monster of Peladon, which is one of the biggest piles of cack it has ever been the misfortune to sit through. And I thought that even on transmission. Moral being, don't revisit a great story unless you can bring something new to it or bring a new twist to it. That was Jeff Waddle, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Jeff.
And all I've got
don't
to do
don't agree, but thanks for the feedback.
This is why I love the podcast.
Hello, 20 Mug Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kerr.
Hey.
The Monster of Paladon by Brian Hills. The Monster of Brexit. Rather than a false slogan on the side of a bus, they have a fake monster to frighten people into leaving the Federation. Quebec is a leader with strange hair. Yes. He has the support of only a minority of his people. That's suspicious that the Doctor will not produce his papers. Perhaps they think he's from Kenya. Eckersley was colluding with the Ice Warriors. Someone should have suspected that. Bye for now.
Yes, thank you, Ian, and thank you for the very strange music that you were playing in the background.
Does someone still have music going on in the background?
Yes, they do.
Yes, say, his door, I'm sitting in the dining room, and Dawn has got Willie Morris on. We've got Kirby, Keeper, we've already gone through this.
Yes, but essentially we don't really want it in the background. I think that's what they're
yes,
leading
that's,
to.
Yes, that's what we're
it keeps
implying.
It keeps blocking out things people are saying.
It does, it's, yeah.
Yes, anyway, but it's now time, if I can find the appropriate icon, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Right then, Mary, who do you... Sorry,
can we just all like dance along to the music?
Mary, who do you think will be ahead? Hello, anybody there?
Perhaps Andy could move.
Yes. Andy's music keeps blotting you out.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Right. Do you want to?
I gotta
let me mute first.
It's just difficult to hear anybody else.
Hang on a second. I'm muting. Right.
But if I ask you a question like, who do you think is going to win? It's going to be a bit difficult understanding that when you're muted. But anyway, I'll ask Mary first. Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Debbie.
If you take into consideration most of the questions are on last week's podcast.
I guess Kirby, because he's the only one that listened to it.
Okay. Right, who do you think is going to be last?
Me.
Sorry.
Okay. Right, so Andy. Oh, good grief.
hang on, we just sort the speakers out. Give me a minute. Hang on a second.
All right, we'll come back to Andy. Right then, Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Debbie.
Well, she may not have listened to the show, but she was there. Who do you think is going to be last, then?
Mary.
Mary, right, okay. Debbie.
I love you, too.
Right, can you hear me? Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, dear. Magic.
Right,
yes.
I'm in the kitchen. I've turned the music off in the kitchen. Is that better?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
Right, Debbie. Yes. Yes, thank you. Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Kirby.
All right. And who do you think is going to be last? Hello?
Mary, sorry.
Mary, right then. Andy, no. Who do you think is going to be ahead? Andy.
Winning will be Mary and last will be me.
Okay. Okay, right.
I've been scowled up with the wife as well.
Oh dear. Right, I know what that's like. Right then, yeah, so in
you,
last...
Yeah, you've met my wife as well,
No,
yes.
Not from your wife. Right, in last place with -2 points, it's Andy.
Oh, thank you.
In third place with no points, it's Kirby. In second place with 1 point, it's Mary, and in the lead with 2 points, it's Debbie. The dog is fidgeting like mad. I just hope he doesn't switch off any of my power facilities. While doing what he's doing. Right. So the first question goes to Mary. Remember, you have
Andy
jokers.
Needs to mute again.
You want me to mute again? You want me to hear me?
No, Andy needs to mute.
Does he? I can't hear him.
Okay.
I have muted.
All right.
Right.
Well,
so,
how come I just heard you?
He could oh, shut up. Right, point deductive for Kirby for interrupting
Thank
the
you,
quiz.
Sir. May I have another?
Right, for Kirby, so he goes down to minus one. Right, so, Mary, this is your question, hopefully at some point. Who was interviewed first on the podcast?
I'll guess Alan.
That would be wrong. Right, so I'm going to put that down as a bonus pop question. Anybody know the answer?
Was it Isla and Tom?
Was correct.
Yay!
Right then, Andy.
Yeah.
Who was Nathaniel dressed up as?
I know.
You know what? I know who Tom and I were dressed as, and I've got that written down.
Pardon?
No idea.
Hang on, I've got to do the scores. Another point in the bonus pot. Debbie knows.
Well, Scott to Tomoka. And he looked very good.
Did he? Right. Kirby.
Master.
Who was Joanne dressed up as?
Haven't the foggiest.
Okay. So
Joanne.
Was this?
Now,
yes?
Question, Master.
Yes?
Did you ever label, like, in the pictures? I looked at the pictures when they were first put up, and there were no names on anyone. So
because I didn't know them.
Podcast.
I'm going around people saying, oh, can I take your picture? How am I supposed to know their blimmin' names? Right then, who knows the answer to this one? Sorry, it was who was Joanne dressed up as? Hello? Anybody?
I know.
Go on, Em.
Nun cat.
Nun cat.
Yeah,
sister
I had to
of
think of who she was. So
it's
the
correct answer.
This whole piece of the quiz is unfair because Debbie was there. And actually,
No. It's not unfair.
Oh, I think
not
it's
unfair
great.
At all. Because
I do
it was...
actually say that I get them to introduce themselves on the podcast, and I get them to introduce who their names and they are dressed as, and I get them to say.
No.
I have no problem with this part of the podcast because I keep feeling my...
The dog has just knocked my bin lid down.
Points going up.
Yeah. Shut up. A minute. Right. The reason that this is not unfair because none of you lot were on the last episodes. Therefore, you should have listened to it. More importantly, than all the episodes you don't listen to because you're on them. So this is why it is important, you see. And it's totally fair.
I didn't think it would be something that I would have to remember people's names.
There are some clues in there, the order of things that are going on. Right, so bonus pop question.
That was weird.
Shut up. Bonus pop
question. I just saw Andy's face pop up on my screen and it disappeared.
Yeah, Andy, I did hear too.
Shut up. Right, pointed that to Kirby. Trying to get from one question out. Unbelievable. Right,
thank you,
on.
Sir.
May I
have another?
Right, so bonus pot question then is this. The dog keeps jumping up.
I had an actual question?
Oh, no, you haven't. Sorry, Debbie. It's Kirby's fault. I do apologise. Right, your actual question is this then, Debbie.
Yeah.
In which city did Rosie Jane go to university?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Cambridge?
No.
Right, so that's another point in the bonus pot. Kirby, apparently you know.
No, I don't know. It's just I knew it wasn't Cambridge.
Okay, anybody know the answer?
Lord Birmingham.
All right, no, it wasn't Birmingham. It was Bristol.
Okay, it started with a B.
Yeah, right. This is the bonus pot question. What character did Andrew Lee Pott play in Primeval?
I never watched Primeval, so I've got the faintest idea.
I never did either.
Anybody? No. Hello?
No.
The answer was Connor Temple. I wouldn't have gotten that one either if I hadn't actually spoken to him about it, so don't worry, I'm not going to hold it against you. All right, so...
Master,
yes.
I want you to not hold against us any of this because particularly I did listen. I just didn't know I was supposed to remember these names.
It's all part of the story, isn't it? It's all part of listening to the episode, isn't it, Debbie?
Yeah.
Right, next question goes to Mary.
I actually enjoyed listening.
Be quiet. Mary?
Yes?
By the way, there's still 5 points in the bonus pot. I'm just going to run it over to the next round. Right then, Mary, this is your question. It's which Doctor Who story did Adam refer to in conversation with Andrew Lee Potts?
No idea.
Oh, that's a shame. Anybody?
Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
That's a great answer.
I didn't listen, I guessed, because we'd only recently watched that one.
And I thought I was referring to the fact that Invasion of the Dinosaurs was quite like an episode of Primeval. Right, Andy.
Yeah, I do remember you saying that.
Right, which actor would really like to be in Doctor Who in relation to the people I spoke to?
Oh, yes, he said, didn't he? Yeah.
I know who...
No, this is Andy's question,
Hang on a second, give me a break, kids.
He's quickly scanning through Facebook.
No, not. I'm trying to decide. It's from a joke or not.
Don't choke, and you'll choke while talking in the mouthful.
John Oldman. But it wasn't. No, it wasn't John Oldman. Oh God, it wasn't. It was Andrew Blair. I can't remember his surname.
I'll give you that one. Andrew. It's nearly Andrew Lee Potts. No, it wasn't actually. I was wrong. Sorry, it's not Andrew Lee Potts. Forget I said that. So what we're going to do is that. Because I'm getting confused. Got a dog trying to get out of the room and panting like mad.
I know.
You know, do you? Go on then.
Ryan Wheeler.
That's the dinger. God, what noise was that noise? What was that noise? I heard a noise.
No idea.
God, what's the weird poltergeists going on this episode? Well done, Kirby.
We
got that one right.
We actually do have a poltergeist here.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes, we most certainly do.
Right, who was that question originally for?
That was my question.
Okay, right, thank you.
Right, I knew. Bryant Wheeler.
Yes, thank you, Kirby. Right, then. Kirby, your question.
There's no. You don't have poltergeist because there aren't any such things.
Shut up. Kirby.
Yes, Master.
Right. Bryant Wheeler played an Ewok and a Jawa in which film?
That would be Return of the Jedi.
Ooh. Here's a great answer.
Dang!
But
dang,
you perhaps
dang,
should have made you played your Joker on that
I
one.
I don't have my Joker card around here to remind me.
Right, Debbie.
Yeah?
How many Harry Potter films had Bryan Wheeler done?
I know.
Four?
Oh, my goodness!
Yes! I knew that as well. Damn!
Should have played your Joker. Did you know?
I didn't know.
All right, okay.
I wasn't going to play mid Joker.
Bonus pot question. Right. Nick Joseph appeared in which Tom Baker story?
Invasion of Time.
Oh.
No, Leisure Hives.
Oh, and a point deducted for Andy for saying that and not giving
it's
someone
Leisure
else.
Hive. I know.
So that's minus three because he didn't give anybody else a chance to get that answer. And I'll give it to Kirby, even though he shouldn't really have that one. Yeah, so point deducted for Andy. Was that a bonus pot question?
Yep.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, well, nobody gets those. I'll just distribute some points because that's unfair.
Do I get minus five then?
No, you don't. No. Right then. So the next question goes to the scores. Sorry. Right. In last place with minus 3 points is Andy. In third place with 1 point is Mary. In second place with 2 points is Kirby. And in the lead with 9 points is Debbie. This is Mary's question.
Fire away. Right.
You won't get this one.
Okay. I won't know it.
No, you won't, but here we go. What was Nick Joseph's most recent appearance in Doctor Who?
I don't know.
Anybody? Anybody? Hello? Anybody out there?
No.
If you listen to the episode, you'd know.
Well, I did listen.
But it was Mark of the Rani. Mark of the Rani. Mark of the Rani. Was the answer to that one. Right. Andy.
Yes.
Where was Nick Joseph planning to travel to in the near future?
I know.
Oh.
Andy? Probably the bar.
What?
What?
He You're said the bar. Right, yeah. No, it's not that. Andy. I mean, sorry, Kirby.
Australia and New Zealand.
Well done.
Nice.
Right, Kirby, your question.
Who, me?
Well, you're called Kirby, are you not? Kirby. Master Comic or something like that, was it?
So he meant me.
Is it the Comic Master? I can't remember, something like that.
Yes, Master.
Yeah. what was Hannah Spirit's assessment of Isle of Wight Comic Con?
Loved it.
Nope. Anybody?
Good for the economy.
No.
She said, pretty damn good.
She said it was un-Comic-Con like.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Well, what did you mean by that?
Right, was that your question? Was that your question, Debbie?
You could take that a number of ways.
Debbie, was that your question? Yeah. Right, okay. So bonus pot question next. And it's, how many times had Hannah Spirit previously visited the Isle of Wight?
I'll guess.
Go on, Em.
Once.
I thought I had a question to come. I didn't have my question.
Well, stop interrupting me, everybody. Hey, what did you say?
That was my question.
Yeah, that was Debbie's question.
I said, listen to me, listen. I said, no, please listen. Last time I said, whose question was that one? And Debbie said mine, so I presume the next one was the bonus pot question. So
I thought you said next question.
No, I said, whose is... Oh, good grief. I said, whose question
Debbie
was that?
Said she's never visited before, so I think it's right. So if that's correct, then Debbie gets the point.
I said none. I said, you said how many times, and I went none.
All right,
none,
you can have 2 points for that. There we go, none. That's not the bonus pot question. You've got 2 points. Right. There we go. Oh, darn, that went wrong. And now you've only got 2 points because I'm getting harassed. Right, now you've got 11 points. All right. Bonus pot question then. Hello?
Yes.
Hey. Right, bonus pot question is this. What character did Hannah Spirit play in Primeval? I'll hover over the wrong button because nobody will know this.
Oh, for God's sake.
What character did Hannah Spirit play
Does anyone actually care?
That's not the answer.
It was an awful series. It was dreadful.
Right, okay.
I've never seen it.
And I've never seen it either.
Kirby and Mary, you're not missing anything.
Yes, the first couple of series weren't too bad. Can we move on?
I'm actually considering watching it after listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, shut up. The first couple of series weren't too bad. Anyway, but I was very polite to them about the rest of it. Mary... because that was a bonus pot question that nobody had. Mary.
Yes, yes.
The answer, by the way, was Abby. She played Abby in Primeval. Okay, so this is your question, Mary.
Abby's normal.
Mary, what age did Hannah Spirit say she was hitting now? What age did she say she was now?
Oh, let me see. 250.
No, her actual... What are you talking about? Hannah Spirit.
You said her spirit.
She'd be dead.
Her name is
Spirit.
Hannah Spiro. No. It's her name.
It's not Spiro. Oh, it's Spirit.
Oh, okay. You're saying Hannah Spirit. No, okay.
No. Hannah. How are the woman...
48.
Pardon?
I think I know.
I don't know.
I'm going to give you that one, Mary. She said mid-30s. That's near enough. Thank you very much. Yes. Oh, God, this is so hard. Right, Andy.
Yep.
What did Alan say was the biggest... the biggest difficulty was. So what did Alan say the biggest difficulty was at the con?
I actually did listen to it. Getting to the island.
I wonder if it would be that, but you've been on the island. It's not that hard. It's expensive, but it's not that hard. Yeah, anybody like to know? Oh, sorry, does know.
Seeing everything.
I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one, Kirby. Yes, getting round. What on earth is that noise?
What is that noise?
What was that noise?
What noise?
I think it was...
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sitting here looking... Oh, for goodness sake.
Up all the time.
It sounded like somebody was rustling something very loudly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did.
That's a very suspicious noise. Right. Right, where do we
it's probably my fault. It's always my fault. So it must have been my fault. I mean, yeah, what the hell? It's obviously my fault.
Right, who was the last? Yeah. Who was the last question for? I'm losing the plot here.
Mary.
Mary. Right, Mary. Thank you for trying to answer that question, Mary, in a sensible and conventional and rather professional way on a highly painful podcast. Right then. So the next one goes to Andy.
Okay.
Right. So
I'm losing the will to live.
Oh, I thought that was your question, Andy. The getting round the pod.
Yes, it
so isn't.
Yeah,
therefore, it's Kirby's.
That was Andy's.
Kirby.
Well, so I'm not going to get it right.
No, you're not going to get that one. No. Kirby.
Master.
What was Debbie's highlight?
In hair.
What was Debbie's highlight?
I know.
all the cosplayers.
No, it wasn't that. Debbie, what was your highlight?
I'm pretty sure I said what I think I said because I was very hyped, but I'm going to play my Joker, and I'm sure it was meeting Brian Hallahan.
Yes, you do play that, but unfortunately, yes. Because it was only a second answer, you only get 2 points for playing Joker. But there you go, that's the way it goes.
I know, but at least I played it.
You played it, yes. Bonus pot question. Who set off the fire alarm?
I don't remember the name, but yeah. I know.
Go on.
But it wasn't me!
It was the person who was making the popcorn.
Yay!
Correct answer. Finally, if you played a Joker on that one, Kirby,
oh, dang.
You would have got 20-something points, but you didn't, so there you go.
Well, right. I've gotten into a TARDIS. I'm going back. Joker!
Tough. Right, Mary.
You didn't go back to the right time, Kirby. Sorry.
Mary.
Yes, sir.
What word did Alan say Debbie could not pronounce?
All of them.
Oh, golly, I don't know.
Right.
I think I know.
Go on, Em.
Was it Hanrahan?
No, that's nobody can pronounce that. No, the answer was expectation.
Oh.
Yes. Wow. Andy, your question.
Oh, I hasten to add.
Yeah.
Expectation.
Thank you for that. Andy.
Hello.
Who was Duncan the photographer's favourite celebrity?
Oh,
God,
Benny's.
No, he wasn't there.
It wasn't
Benny. I think I know.
Jill Alton.
Go on in, Kirby.
Brian O'Halloran.
Oh, God, my goodness.
No. No, the answer was Hannah Spirit.
I was going to say her.
Yes, well, you didn't. Right, so the next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Who was Roberta dressed as on on day two? Who was Roberta dressed as on day two?
Since I don't know who Roberta is, I haven't the foggiest.
Okay, anybody?
I think she was the Mad Hatter.
Yes, she was. Oh,
I saw the pictures.
What on earth is going on? Right.
What was that noise?
Somebody rubbing something very vigorously.
And it wasn't me.
Who's that question for? Initially.
Maybe someone else is on the thing. I don't know. Right.
Who's that last question for?
Me, I think.
Right. That's your name's Kirby, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
Right. Then. So
I'm king of comics, though.
Apparently so. Yes, Debbie.
Yes.
Why did Paul Wilson decide to go on Sunday?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No,
because he couldn't go on Saturday.
A good try, but it's not right. No, it's because he thought it'd be quieter on Sunday. 7 points in the bonus pot for this question.
Was it?
No. 7 points for this question. Who did Faye come dressed as? Ooh, all gone quiet.
Wonder Woman.
Whoa!
Yes, get in!
It's a great answer.
Well done.
So, the current scores.
That's made my weekend, that's
in last place with 3 points is Mary. In third place with 4 points is Andy. In second place with 14 points is Debbie. In the lead with 18 points is Kirby. Next question goes to Mary. Hang on. Right. What did Isabella say she had been buying?
Have no idea.
Right, anybody?
Pieces of her costume.
What? No.
Pizza!
No, that has to be Alicia. The answer was things, and DC things, to be precise. But so things would be the 2 points. If you said DC, things, it would be the 3 points, an extra bonus point for that one. So, right, so next question goes to Andy.
Hello.
I think I'm going to keep keeping track on this. And it's this one. What impression was Brian O'Halloran's speciality?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, you would know, Debbie, because you were there at the time. Oh, Gordon. No, it wasn't Gordon Bennett again.
No.
Just guess. Oh, right. Tom Baker.
Not the best best ever. But go on then, Debbie.
Donald Trump.
Right. You see, Debbie's got the same answer because she was there at the time.
Yeah, but she's not in the lead. Kirby.
Master.
Whose mother was born on the Isle of Wight in 1920?
I heard someone say that. I don't know who they were.
Anybody?
Nope.
Good Lord.
Nope.
It's John Altman. Was the answer to that one. Debbie.
Yes.
Who was the island cosplay expert?
I have no idea who the island cosplay expert is.
Does anybody have any idea?
Paul Wilson.
A good answer, but wrong. There's April Turner. She's a very nice looking lady, she is too.
I feel terrible that I didn't speak to Paul.
She was up on the stage. I saw that in the video.
Yeah, she's very pretty and very good at cosplay. And her the costume she was wearing on the second day had that very distinct PVC sort of weird smell to it. Yes, I was that close to her because I was queuing behind her for Isabella to enter the cosplay competition. She had no chance, bless her. But it was all for a bit of fun. Mary. Oh, have you done the bonus spot question?
Nodding off over here.
Sorry.
I just put Clerks on the top of my DVD queue on Netflix. Right.
I love that.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, thank you. We'll do bonus pop. 6 points in the bonus pop. All right? Are we ready?
Yeah.
You won't get this one. Who did Alex Watts like to cosplay as? Who did Alex Watts, who's the compere at the convention, like to cosplay as?
Oh, I know.
Go on, Em.
Joker?
No, not the Joker. It wasn't Joker. No, go on then, Kirby.
No. I'm using a Joker.
Yeah, go on then.
It was Batman.
Yes.
It was the correct answer. Yes, well done. That doubled 6 points to 12 points.
Oh, my
Woo!
God.
So well done. Woo-hoo-hoo. Right. So the current scores are, in last place for 3 points is Mary.
Oh, I shouldn't be getting extra points.
In third place for 4 points is Andy. In second place for 15 points is Debbie. And then the lead for 30 points, it's Kirby. Next question goes to Mary.
I shouldn't have answered.
Mary.
Yes.
I've lost where it was. Hang on. There was Trump, Altman,
Turner, Batman.
Ah, here we are. We're now on to questions about the story we watched this week. Okay, so that was the last.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do. So, Mary, what?
Wait, Master.
What?
But you're not going to ask about the Death to the Daleks podcast?
No.
Daphne Ashbrook started it, and midway through was Fraser. Smart you didn't ass. Have anyone at the end.
Smart ass. No.
Thank you,
Mary.
Yes.
What was freaking the miners out at the beginning of the story?
The appearance of the spirit of Aguador.
Spot on. You should have played your Joker.
Killing them.
Andy.
Yeah.
What was being mined?
I'm not quite sure pronounce it right. It's Darylenum or something like that. It's Darylenum.
Nope.
Yeah, I know.
So did you say you played your Joker? That's gone. Go on then, Mary.
It doesn't really matter.
It's a trisilicate, right?
It was, yes, indeedy. Yes.
Yes, okay.
Oh, damn, hang on, I've just done something completely wrong. Just deleted all Mary's points. Didn't mean to do that, Mary. Sorry about that. All right, Kirby.
As well.
Master.
Who threatened to kill Sarah in episode 2, leading to Alpha Centauri opening the door?
Oh, what's the name of... I don't know, I'm sorry.
Anybody?
Eckersley.
Good try.
No, it's way too early. That's wrong. Why I didn't say him.
No, the answer was Ettis.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, who's that for originally, that question?
Me.
Right, so the next one goes to Debbie.
Yeah.
What message did the Queen want the Doctor to get to Gebek?
That they wanted to talk?
Not quite enough detail on that.
Okay, that she would meet in secret.
That's the one we're after.
Yep. Hey, you answered... You gave her a chance to answer twice.
Yeah, because she was on the right lines, and I said just want enough detail. Yes. I wanted more detail.
Okay.
Sorry, more.
That's fine. Yes. Just as long as she gets
cheating.
More.
Not cheating.
6 points in the bonus pot.
Just as long as you get more points than me.
6 points in the bonus pot.
<I'll cry.
laughs> 6 points in the bonus pot. Hello, anybody there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Goodness for that, right. Whose activities were of little importance according to Autron? We've gone very quiet.
Can I hazard a guess?
Yes, you can.
Women?
In general, it was Sarah, but...
He went in the cast.
But yeah, women Sarah's is what he was alluding to, yes, indeed. Thank you, yes. Mary. Right, so, scores. In last place, with 4 points, is Andy. In third place, with 13 points, is Mary. In second place, with 17 points, is Debbie. And in the lead, with 30 points, is Kirby. Next question goes to Mary.
All right.
And that is... I've got to find where I was now. Alright. How did the doctor distract the prison guard?
Oh, Joker.
Yep.
He did the magic coin trick.
He did indeed.
Oh, yes. I think I fell asleep during that part.
Okay. Andy.
Yep.
What was the lead Ice Warrior's name?
I know.
No.
And Mary knows.
A sixer.
Oop. There's a bit
close
of plastic
enough.
In my belt. That was right. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, more or less. Right, yes. Kirby.
Master.
What was the name of the Ice Warrior?
Which one? There were three of them.
Yeah, the one they named.
He's talking about Skell.
Yes.
Yes, you used Great Skell. Great scale to think of that answer, Kirby.
Yes, Sonny Calvinus is one. Yes.
And you could have used your Joker on that one, but you didn't.
I used my Joker.
Did you? When?
Oh, yeah.
That means everybody used their Joker then. I apologise, I got that one wrong. Right then, Debbie.
Hello.
What was...
I used my Joker for Batman, remember?
Thank you for that. What was the Queen's name, Debbie?
Thalira.
Wow. Didn't expect you to get that one. Oh, I'll stop putting your points on. Right, so there's 1 point in the bonus pot for this question. What did Sarah say the doctor used to say?
Oh, I know.
Go on, Em.
Where there's life, there's hope.
Well, where there's life, there's...
Yeah, exactly, but she said the full answer life, before the hope bit. Yeah, so she got it right. There's only 4 questions left now. Four questions left.
Put it emote.
4 questions left, everybody. Hello. Mary, this is your actual question. Mary? Hello?
Well, I just answered. Oh, okay.
No, that was a bonus pot question.
That was a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is your actual question. How did Autron die?
I know.
Wait, you blanked out there.
Yeah, how did Autron die?
A line out.
Well, the Ice Warrior kills him.
Yeah.
I'll give
what
you.
What do you want to say?
I'll give you something a bit more detail. More detail. That's what I'm basically looking for on that one.
Okay. Well, it was the Ice Lord zaps him.
I'll give you a point for that. It's not quite what I've got written down. Anybody have to complete the answer?
He throws himself to save the Queen.
What I was looking for, yes. Sacrifice. Oh. Essentially accidentally sacrifices himself.
That's led to somebody killing him, but he died by being saved by an Ice Warrior.
That's why I gave you a point, Mary. I just wanted the detail of the saving the Queen part of it. Right, Andy.
Yeah.
What was the Doctor trying to do while getting overcome by that alarm disco thingy that was going around his head? What was he actually trying to do?
He was trying to send Agador up to...
Thank you. Kirby.
Okay, I'm not going to argue.
Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor say when Sarah woke him up?
Good morning.
Oh dear, I'm very disappointed with that.
I think, hang on, wasn't it a tear, Sarah Jane?
Not quite, no.
Not quite, no.
No,
that's next story.
Yeah, the next, what he actually said was, tears, anyone would think, tears, anyone would think you thought I was dead. Right, last question. Shut up, Alexa. Debbie.
Yes.
Who died first, Agador or Eckersley?
Agador.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. Ooh. How do you know?
Because Eckersley shot him, so he must have died before.
Yeah. You don't know how long he took to die, did you?
Yeah. He runs off with the queen.
He shot him in the head.
Yeah,
he's dead.
Yeah.
I would say they died at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I would agree.
Irrelevant. Sorry, I'm not having that. No, for my answer says on the thing, whatever you lot say, it's Agador.
They hugged each other to death.
Essentially, yes. Right, so the current scores are in last place with 7 points, Andy. In third place with 20 points, Mary. In second place with 21 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 32 points, it's Kirby. Right, Mary predicted Kirby to be ahead. Oops.
Yay!
And she predicted herself to be at the bottom.
Frog.
Andy predicted Mary to be ahead. And predicted Andy to be at the bottom. Right, Kirby predicted Debbie to be ahead, and predicted Mary to be at the bottom. What is that noise?
What is that noise?
Noises. Debbie predicted Kirby to be ahead, and predicted Mary to be at the bottom. So the final scores.
You are.
The final scores. In last place, the 14 points is Andy.
Yeah.
In third place, with 32 points, it's Kirby.
Yay.
In second place with 40 points, it's Mary. And the winner this week with 42 points, it's Debbie.
That's the answer.
Quite interesting to note that Lauren X's earlier comments of Poltergeist seem to be taking over the podcast. When it comes to background noises, she's spot on, and if she's on the quiz, she'd get one of these. She also says, it ain't a convention if no one sets off the fire alarm. That's a very good point again. And Ality Butcher says, give Debbie a week to prepare and she can pronounce expectations.
Actually, Adam and Debbie, where the fire alarm, did you have to evacuate the place with the fire alarm?
No.
Because actually, I was at a Panopticon a few years, many years ago, when the fire alarm went off, and somebody grabbed me and said, you used to be a copper, can you help get people in out of the building? So I was like stopping all the traffic in the middle of Comedy High Street, which is really quite entertaining.
I've been to have my photo taken with Brian, and suddenly the fire alarm's going off. It's like, okay.
Dangerous picture.
It smelt nice, though.
Well, it did. The smoke alarm. Actually, and the popcorn did, yeah.
I've never been to a convention where the fire alarm went off.
Okay, it's the first time
you've
for
never
everything.
You've never lived.
Right. Look, it's very hot in here. I don't want the dog panting at me. It's very warm in here. Just turn the heating
I'm
off.
Cold.
Doctor Who news, everybody.
I just put some out there.
What news?
Breaking news. Yes.
Well, wait, darling. Wait, please. Just let me talk about what I need to talk about. Oh, dear, right. Oh, it's loads
cool,
of stuff on
Kirby.
Here.
Kirby, brilliant.
Sorry to keep you up, Andy.
Did you see it?
No, yeah, just wait. Now, I'm going back. There's loads of stuff here. Dear, right. So apparently a writer has been sacked from DWM.
Oh, yes.
Actor and writer Nicholas Pegg has been dismissed from Doctor Who magazine after he concealed a crude message in the last issue of the magazine.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was
a crude message?
Yes.
It was, when he spotted it, it was.
Yes. Legendary Doctor Who director Paddy Russell has died. Like I said, legendary Doctor Who and a female.
Right.
The earliest female
director. We just recently did one of the ones she did.
We did indeed. So a loss.
Invasion of the Dinosaurs. Yes.
There we go. Doctor Who News. It says Doctor Who News is looking for volunteers to join the editorial team. Debbie Milrose has been put forward for that particular task. Beg pardon?
What have I been put forward for? Sorry.
The Doctor Who News editorial team.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Send your inquiries to submissions at doctorwhonews.net. I'll do that for you, shall I? Dudley Simpson, legendary Doctor Who composer, has died at the age of 95.
That's not bad going, is it? 95? I mean, no, come
but blimmin' heck, the list of stories he...
Yeah, look at that list!
I can't even start to read that out. It's almost like an episode of Doctor Who in itself. but wow. But yeah, a sad loss to the world of Doctor Who. Germany, a Silver Nemesis extended German German language Big Finish audios and more. German DVD distributor announced that at the Doctor Who convention Time Lash 3 on the last weekend of October, a limited box set featuring all of the seventh Doctor stories, including new bonus features and the never before on DVD release and newly remastered Silver Nemesis extended edition. So that's interesting. Will we get to see that? I mean, the extended edition on DVD? Maybe so.
I don't know.
Arrows of Time, a tribute to Doctor Who, is a new full dome planetarium show where a planetarium's dome is used to show visuals, being premiered in Brno in the Czech Republic on the 19th of November with a second performance on the 20th. Anybody going to that?
Okay. Yeah, right.
There's a thing about the Doctor's William Hartnell years, a new double DVD release in the highly regarded series exploring the world of TV's Doctor Who in what would build into a complete work of the Doctor's. The William Hartnell years.
New interviews with Carol Ann Ford, Jacqueline Hill, William Russell, Peter Purvis and Jackie Lane.
Yes. The Doctor's new costume has been revealed. I think she obviously in her first story goes to a visit Mork and Mindy and decides to nick Mork's T-shirt.
Yes. Well and, said, yes.
And also
that's who I thought of.
Decides to go to a circus and nick the head clown's trousers and braces. Other than that, a coat looks nice.
You have noticed that the TARDIS is different. The stripe, yes, I was going to say the TARDIS later, but the stripe on her shirt is Tom Baker's scarf, basically.
Didn't know that, but well done, Kirby, for spotting that one. That design does run in the trim of the jacket as well. Sorry, Andy.
Oh, it does. I see that. I've never looked at this on a larger screen before. Yeah,
sorry about that, Andy.
The TARDIS has several changes, including the loss of the St. John's ambulance badge and the pulled open sign has switched.
I will say the TARDIS in this picture is computer generated, so it might not necessarily be the TARDIS we see in the series. Okay, so it's an artistic TARDIS.
The thing is that the same thing has come out on Radio Times website.
Okay. It's a lovely picture.
Yes,
though,
it's going to be that way.
A lovely picture. But notice somebody said there was a cow pat in the picture. It's actually a rock, but it does actually look a little bit like a cow pat.
It does.
Seventh Doctor Sylvester McCoy is joining the voice cast of CBBS series Sarah and Duck. So that will be something Deb will be watching in the near future. Another actor from Doctor Who has passed away. The Irish actor Scott Fredericks has died at the age of 74. Obviously, the picture they showed of him is how we remember him, being obviously a lot younger. He was in Doctor Who's stories, Day of the Daleks, specifically. He played one of the future people that come back to try and kill... Sir, what's his name? But yeah, so he's died at the age 74. Is quite young these days.
And he was also in Image of the Fendal.
Was he?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that, Kirby. And Children in Need 2017 kicks off very soon on Friday the 17th of November, and there's going to be a Doctor Who insert on it. And there's been pictures of the three main actors from the story holding Pudsey.
Apparently, it's just going to be a clip from the next episode.
That's what they normally do.
I miss the days when they used to have original content on these.
Yes, that's what they normally do nowadays. They just show an extended clip from the Christmas episode. So at least that's something to taste buds. Yes?
Now, what about my news?
Go on, then.
I just posted.
Go on, then.
New era Doctor Who serials to be adapted as Target novelizations.
Oh, yes.
Very cool.
Do you reckon Alistair might be doing the covers?
That would be nice.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Especially for him.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a very interesting, speaking of Target novelizations, on the second disc of Monster of Felidon is a Target novelizations documentary.
Yes.
It was just interesting.
Well, thank you, Kirby. That's very, very good. All right. Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
If anyone hasn't actually noticed, Christmas is coming. So this is the place to go to get your gifts for your Doctor Who fan. Now, there was no actual proper Doctor Who merchandisers at the Comic-Con. So it makes me quite sad because I could have actually got some sonic screwdrivers in them and sold them myself.
People kept asking to buy our stuff, didn't they?
They did indeed. So if Whowon had actually been at the Comic-Con, they probably could have made a lot of money. But there you
they go. Yeah. That was awesome that the BBC took pictures of your stuff.
It is. I'm surprised they didn't take a picture of Debbie because Debbie's actually quite attractive, and that would have been quite a nice little backdrop for their video. And you're not bad either, Deb.
That's nice.
Fair enough.
That was quite cleverly played, that one, wasn't it? Never mind. All right, 100 Illustrated Adventures of Doctor Who, which is a £20 book. Presented in hardback, and Death Among the Stars, which is a audiobook presented on CD by Steve Lyons, that one. 10th Doctor Christmas Surprise, which is one of the Mr. Man books. This hardback, that one, because I've seen it in Forbidden Planet in Southampton the other day, which got loads of very lovely things that we didn't buy. I did buy something at Forbidden Planet. I bought my latest version of the 12th Doctor that actually looks like the 12th Doctor. As a first figure that I bought that actually looks like Peter Capaldi, so I bought that and replaced the one that didn't look like him. The one that is now, I've got to probably chuck it straight in the bin actually because it doesn't look anything like him. Right, anyway, moving on. DWM518 with a picture of what's that chap called? Oh yeah, David Tennant on the cover. If you live in America or abroad, you can get them much quicker by getting them through Whowon. And the DWM special time travel book is out. That's $9.99. And Five Doctors audio book. That'd be quite a listen, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. It's also available. And these things would make particularly good presents for your Doctor Who fan if you so wish to indulge them. There's a load of Big Finish stuff coming out. Outliers, Morton Legacy, Aliens Among Us 1, Behemoth, Middle, and Series 10 box set on Blu-ray and DVD, all coming out very soon. So there we go. That's what we're going to be buying everybody for Doctor Who fans at Christmas. Yes, Kirby.
Master. Yes. Yeah, one thing I would not buy, although I do want to buy stuff from whowon.co.uk, I would not buy DVDs from them because they'd be in the wrong format.
Yeah.
Now I did. I have.
I didn't mention DVDs already, apart from the Blu-rays. It was Blu-rays I mentioned, wasn't it?
Blu-rays are also region.
Are they? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Now I have put in my advance order to get Shada.
Have you?
What, which from... I'm not going to get until January.
Did you do that through Amazon? Because getting them from Whowon.
Amazon. Yeah.
I was going to say.
So how many versions of Shada have you got now, then, Kirby?
All of them, or when I get that one, all of them, including the
Big Finish.
Ian, what's his name? One.
Ian Levine. Yeah, I've got that one. I've got a copy. I got on VHS. I've got a DVD. One with the text. Yes.
Yes, and there was a Big Finish one as well, wasn't there? And there was also a. Wasn't there one that the BBC did?
Five versions of that now.
Wasn't there one the BBC did? Slightly animated one.
There's one with Tom Baker doing narration, wasn't there?
That's it. That's the one that came out on
set with
video,
the script book as well. I mean, it's amazing. This is a story that's never finished, and yet it's probably the story with the most versions and the most screen time of any Doctor Who story.
Yeah.
But I suggest that when we get to the story this time around, since we've done it before, let's use the newest version.
Of course, Kirby. Because everybody's going to get it.
Actually, I disagree. I think we should do every single version in one episode.
No.
Well, we did that last time.
No. We'll do the new version when we review it. Because that'll be the first time it's actually been properly seen in its nearly to what it was supposed to be like state. Anyway, back to Lavazzi. Scarves. Saw a few people at the convention wearing the Lavazzi scarves. I'm sure.
Did Alan wear his? Did Alan have his on?
He did. And I'm sure Lavazzi. Meninga.
Did it get wet?
Particularly pleased. Yes, of course it got wet. It tipped it down. But you can also get Christmas hats and Christmas scarves there as well, which, again, this is Christmas theme, everybody. It's not long to go now. So get your Christmas presents from Lavazzi and from whowon.co.uk. Right, our next story is Planet of Spiders. That's a six-part story, but I find it rather irresistible when I start watching that particular story. So therefore, you've got 1 week to watch it. 19th of November is our next podcast.
Okay.
I will not be available the next two Sundays.
You will be available or won't be?
I will not be available.
Mary, what have you got to say for yourself?
Well, I'm going to the baby shower of a coworker next Sunday.
Oh, yes.
And then the following Sunday, I will be at Chicago TARDIS.
Oh, that's acceptable.
Yay!
The Chicago TARDIS one is acceptable. The first one is just girly nonsense. But anyway, that's fine. By the way, so yes, next week we'll be recording Planet Spiders.
We've got to watch six episodes in a week.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's easy for this one.
Oh, yes.
It's not boring.
No.
It's actually good. You're quite right. It's good.
So, so that's by next Sunday. I will pre-warn everyone. I'm pretty sure on the 3rd of December is our work's Christmas party, so I won't be doing a podcast on that particular day.
Mine's on the 2nd.
Okay. Well, you will be at it. Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
I doubt we were doing a podcast on that particular weekend because of
the reasons. Goodness, because I'm travelling to Bristol on the day after.
For reasons I just outlined. Other than that...
So,
Andy keeps tripping over his iPad. And, sorry, you were saying, Kirby?
Okay, we're going... What day were you saying we will not?
The third,
dear. Yes.
The third, okay.
Okay.
But we should do one on the 26th, most likely. Probably Robot.
Possibly. Depends. We'll just play it week by week and see how we get on. We'll start with next week, as Debbie told everybody at the convention that we do weekly podcasts. So that does rather put the pressure on. So we now have to try and do them weekly.
I'm being blamed for that.
Yes,
one.
You are.
Okay,
yes,
fair enough.
But we can do that. There's certainly a story that can be watched within a week. And I did allude a while back that the six part story is going to become quite rare soon. So, fortunately,
and also most of them are good from this point on.
If you say
so. Can Kirby stay awake?
I don't know.
Nah.
So that'll be a question, wouldn't it? Right, so the last few comments that came through on the Facebook feed, last comment, in fact, sorry. Alan T. Butcher says, give Debbie a week to... Oh, I've done that one. No, sorry, there haven't been any more comments on the Facebook feed. But thank you for your perseverance, all four of you, for watching us to the end of the show, all the things I've had to put up with on this episode. I should really have deducted points from every single person on the quiz, but obviously I'm feeling quite kind tonight, where it's getting into Christmas spirit and all that. And I've got a bottle of Jack Daniels I really should indulge in.
You're going to drink an entire bottle of Jack Daniels?
I wouldn't normally on normal occasions, but
in one evening.
I've got a dog at my feet.
Are you working tomorrow or not?
No, of course not. I don't work Mondays. I've got a dog panting at my feet. I've had to put up with all sorts of background noises on a podcast that we were supposed to have presenting to new listeners that went to the convention. I spent 2 days, and Debbie, dishing out cards and all this, trying to show how really good and professional we are, and you lot made a right tits up of the whole thing.
Freezing.
And I've got a cold.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Alice D. Butcher says, Debbie perhaps meant weekly. Weekly, as in not very strongly.
As in the name. W-A-A-K.
At least he's still watching. But anyway, until next week, Planet Spiders, goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.